Tara? For weeks, we've heard of a potential ceasefire in the Middle East, but it is as elusive now as it has ever been. The latest development is that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dissolved his war cabinet. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation in Gaza spirals downward. For more context on both of these evolving situations, we've reached Jamie Levin. He's professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
So why has Netanyahu dismantled the war cabinet?
He's dismantled the war cabinet because it had effectively stopped functioning. As of last week, it was a war cabinet pretty much in name only. That cabinet, the war cabinet, included Benny Gantz and Gabby Eisenkot of the centrist National Unity Party. They're considered two moderates in Israel. And Gantz and Eisenkot left the war cabinet after an ultimatum they had given Netanyahu expired. They had demanded that Netanyahu provide a plan for the quote-unquote day after. In other words, a clear path to ending Hamas rule in the Gaza Strip, to returning the remaining Israeli hostages, and establishing some sort of multinational administration which would allow Israel to wind down its war effort. But more broadly, I would say that they left the war cabinet because the national consensus in Israel has begun to fray. It's been nearly 9 months of fighting, and much of Israel has simply lost faith in Netanyahu's leadership. Israelis are broadly frustrated that the war hasn't managed to defeat Hamas, it hasn't managed to return the hostages, and the risk of a second front against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon has increased. Since the announcement, we've seen major protests in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem last two nights, calling for the ouster of Netanyahu and early elections in Israel.
So how does this then affect the war planning and basically their pursuit of the war?
Well, it's important to note that Netanyahu retains a firm grasp on power despite these resignations. He lost eight seats with the departure of the centrists, but he still retains a majority in the Knesset. It's a slim majority, 64 seats out of 120, but it's a majority nonetheless. So what he started to do is reassemble what might be thought of as a replacement war cabinet. And that replacement war cabinet is rumored to include mostly Netanyahu loyalists and largely, but not entirely, what are thought to be moderating voices. In other words, those advocating for an end to the war, a ceasefire, and a return of the hostages. But conspicuously absent so far in this new war cabinet are the names Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich. These are the ultra-nationalist religious Zionists. They weren't part of the previous war cabinet because they're outside of the national consensus in Israel, and the question is whether they'll be included in this one.
Now, the U.S. has been pressing Israel to negotiate a ceasefire, to try to negotiate for the release of hostages. Hamas has been pushing back on that. I mean, it just seems like the two sides are not that interested in it, although the international community is. I mean, where does it all stand right now?
Well, I'll talk about the American interest. The Americans have a clear interest in a speedy end to this war, and President Biden in particular has a clear interest in the speedy end of this war. The Americans don't want to see the war spiral into a second or third front, which would almost certainly drag them into a regional conflict. And I think there is a sincere desire amongst the U.S. foreign policy establishment to see the return of Israeli hostages and to alleviate the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. And for Biden, the war has become something of a personal millstone, right? He suffered in the polls, particularly amongst young Democrats and left Democrats. So a speedy resolution, a ceasefire agreement, would help him in the upcoming elections against Donald Trump. So the American administration has clearly tilted towards the moderating voices in Israel, and they've dangled the promise of a visit to the White House if Netanyahu accepts a ceasefire. And that would also help Netanyahu in the polls. But what Netanyahu has to do is balance the small bump that he would receive from a ceasefire and a visit to the U.S. against the near certainty that his far-right flanks, Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, would leave the coalition, which would trigger an immediate election.
I mean, meanwhile, there's a humanitarian disaster in Gaza, and people are desperate for more aid. Where does that stand?
Well, the humanitarian situation in Gaza, you're right, it continues to be very much desperate. Humanitarian aid is much needed and yet remains desperately short. Israel has recently announced that it will implement a daily pause in the fighting in the most affected zones of southern Gaza to allow for the increased delivery of aid. But this is on the backdrop of two important developments. Yesterday, the UN announced that Gaza has become the most dangerous place for aid workers in the world, and they released a report stating that two-thirds of all the roads in the Gaza Strip have been damaged or destroyed. So regardless of the daily pause, humanitarian aid is likely still going to fall short of what's needed.
Jamie, appreciate coming on this morning. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Levin is a political science professor at St. Francis Xavier University. 3 minutes before 6 now, let's check in with Ken Dawson on our local news headlines. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. The-